All right, get your Bibles out this morning. It's good to have Mrs. Martinez's sister with us. I know it's your mother. I'm just... Yes, you're welcome. Thank you. I knew that would get one good reaction and then one... But I figured... praise the Lord. It's good to have you and Gil here today. And praise the Lord all the way from...
New York City,
which we say the greatest city in the world. That's what I say. Greatest food, greatest people. Anyways, and thankful for, if you ever get a chance to go to New York City, invite me and take it. I like it. I like it over there. Thankful that you have chosen to be with us here this morning. And praise the Lord for that. Any other guests with us this morning? All right. Good to see everybody else. Mrs. Turner, how are you feeling? Good, good. All right, ready to go. Jeremiah chapter 17 this morning. How's our overflow crowd over there? Everybody good out there? Good, thank you. Thumbs up from Mr. Faulkner. Must be good out there. Ms. Frediani, you good? All right. Jeremiah chapter 17 this morning. I'm going to start in verse 5. We're going to read through verse 9. And then we'll draw some thoughts from this passage pray that it be a blessing, a help to you. We need help. I don't know about you, but I need help. And man, I am so thankful for the Word of God that is able to help us. Without the help of the Scriptures, I really don't know where I'd be. It corrects my thinking. It corrects my actions. It sets me in line with God. And there's great blessings in that. Now, you still feel the ups and downs of life, but... He gives us the ability to get through that, and we're going to talk about that a little bit here this morning. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5, thus saith the Lord. Hey, when that shows up, you stop, right? Hold on a second. It's about to get serious. Jeremiah is a prophet. He proclaims the book of Jeremiah as a series of his sermons that he preaches to Israel. Many a times, a sorrowful thing because the nation of Israel has turned their back on the Lord. He's either prophetically saying some more judgments to come or revealing to them why they're experiencing the difficulty that they have today. It's a difficult book to read through. It's sorrowful. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet for a reason, because a lot of the messages are just are tough. They're tough. Thus saith the Lord. When you see words like that, you want to stop. You want to give careful note. You might want to sit up a little bit. Pay closer attention. God is about to speak to us. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this powerful passage. God, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that as we open up your word here this morning, that we know that God, you have revealed yourself to us and have an important message, not just for knowledge, but to help us. Lord, I pray as we travel through this message this morning that God, you would, again, Holy Spirit, that you would work a work in our hearts. God, whatever our need may be here this morning, God, I pray you'd meet it. If there was someone here today that doesn't know for sure that heaven is their home, that today would be the day that they put their faith and trust in you. God, if someone's struggling within their faith as they are a child of God and still just trying to do things themselves, Lord, I pray that this message this morning would help correct that. Lord, help us now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What an interesting thought here this morning. We're given two stark contrasts. He says, don't do this, and then do this. Now, that is pretty much the Christian life. Put this thing on, take this thing off. This doesn't belong in your life. This does belong in your life. This is going to cause trouble. This is not going to cause trouble. This is going to be a blessing. And God lays it out. Say, I'm not the nation of Israel. I'm not Jewish. This was written 600 years before the birth of Christ. This doesn't apply to me. Oh, that's where you're wrong. The principles of God are consistent. The Bible says that God changes not. And when He puts forth a principle in the Old Testament, hey, that's good for me in the New Testament too. There's some people that just want to cut away the entire Old Testament. Hey, the law is no good. It doesn't do anything for me. Oh, quite the contrary. The law is our schoolmaster and brings us to Christ. So when God says, hey, warning, don't trust in man, that's going to cause some trouble for you. I'm here to tell you some 2,600 years later, that's still true. You trust in man, you're going to have some trouble. As we continue our passage, Jeremiah chapter 17, he has these encouraging words, though. And look at verse 7, it says again, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So I'm going to ask you this morning, this will be our introductory question that you're going to be thinking about, but this will also be our concluding question that you're going to think about. What are you trusting in? Trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in a man? Or are you trusting in God? 152 times in the Bible, in the Old Testament alone, it gives us this thought of trusting in the Lord. By definition, say, what does it mean to trust? I mean, I kind of understand it. You know, I understand the concept, but could you use the scriptures to define it? Absolutely. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12, it tells us this, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward will be given of the Lord God of Israel under whose wings thou art come to trust. What does trust mean? It means to take refuge in. And Psalm 56 and verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. It's a dependence upon It is a leaning upon the Lord. If you've ever gone through a difficulty in your life, you've got to lean on something. When we were originally moved into our house some 13 and a half years ago, I know this because we moved in right around Abby's birthday, so that's how I know when we moved into our house. We went up into the attic and we found old toys and we found some old things, and we found probably 5 or 6 crutches, wooden crutches. Remember the crutches? They didn't match each other. They were like 4 independent crutches, one of which was broken. Ever try and lean on a crutch that's broken? Ever try and lean on something that can't hold you up? What are you trusting in this morning? By definition, to trust is to believe. That's in our New Testament as we read through. We are to trust in God. What does that mean? Well, we see faith. We see belief. In the Old Testament, we see these thoughts to take refuge in Ruth chapter 2. To lean upon in Psalm chapter 56. How about Job chapter 35? Although thou sayest, thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore, trust thou in him. What is it? It's to stay upon. Hey, it's a foundation I can firmly build on and know that this is going to last. Not only to lean upon in my troubles, not only to take refuge in when difficulties come, but it's something that I can build on knowing that it's going to be there when I need it. Many people invest in and maybe set some money aside. It's called a trust. Why? Because one day they're going to use that to build in their life. Maybe it's for education. Maybe it's for a home. Maybe it's for a special thing. That's where that definition comes from. It's to stay upon. I want you to evaluate the things in your life. What can you say in your life that you could run to take refuge upon, that you can lean upon in your times of difficulty, that you know for sure that if I build upon this, it ain't going anywhere? That list is a short list. And Jeremiah the prophet helps us with this here today. He makes it very clear, a very clear warning to you and I as we look at Jeremiah chapter 17. I understand we're not the nation of Israel. I understand that we're not being taken captive, but the principle we cannot get away from. It is a very clear warning of danger, of destruction, of hurt and difficulty. These are all very true. We have 5 children. I give instruction to my children not to make it easy for me. I instruct my children to protect them from things. We've been doing work upstairs and just, you know, just using certain tools. Hey, son, don't put your hand on the board when you're bringing the saw down. Who do you think you are? What, just because I'm 13, just because I'm 15, 16? I don't know. I'm not going to allow you to do that. Why? Because that's dangerous. You're going to cut your fingers off. And we give instruction to our children, not because it's easy for me, not because I get something out of this. What does God benefit by? He's telling us these things to help us. Hey, warning! Warning! I'm going to warn you against something. Hey, there's a false sense of trust. There's a broken crutch out there that if you lean upon, you're going to fall. And he tells us exactly what it is, because so many people, when they run to a problem, what do? They run to God? No, they run to somebody else. Look at this. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. There's a false sense of trust when we are dependent upon somebody else in our life. Now, don't go crazy with this. Can we be a help to one another? Absolutely. Are we to be an encouragement to one another? Absolutely. Are we to bear one another's burdens? Absolutely. But understand, the best way to bear someone else's burdens is to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to bring them along. As you hold the hand of God, you hold their hand or hold them up. That's the only way you can make it work. But there is a false sense of trust. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. When I run into trouble, I'm going to go get help from him or her. The Bible says that maketh flesh his arm. We sang that song, Stand Up for Jesus. That third verse, where's my hymnal? The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. I think, no offense to anybody else, we have the greatest church in the world. I love you all. I love spending time with you. Thursday night, where is Pastor Seatman in here? Where are you? No, he left. He's out there. Oh, there you are. What did we call Thursday nights now? No, Thursday. You were saying, what did you just say? Balling with bros. We alternate a little bit, throws with bros. But we have ladies, so it doesn't really work super well. I mean, the girls get such nice things, you know, Friday with friends. We're just like, hey, come on out, and we're going to throw beanbags at wooden boards. Well, it was a great time. It was just a great time of fellowship. I'm not undermining the benefit and the help that a church is to one another. But be careful of what you're trusting in. Be careful what you're going to lean upon. Certainly, if my son wants to lean upon me as I lean upon the Lord, he'll be able to stand. I can be a help in that way. But if I'm trusting in the world to hold me up when dark times come, we are making a grave mistake. And God is warning us of this. He says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Do you see where that goes? It's not trusting in God. It's trusting in our ability. I can get myself out of anything. Oh, the Lord will have a way of humbling you. Making flesh his arms. What is that? That's doing things versus allowing the hand of God to do things in your life. That the help comes from these things, not him. When we place our hands to the difficulties that are in our life or somehow expect someone else to fix them, we are truly doing ourselves a great disservice, the Bible says. He said, you're borderline cursed. That's not going to work. There's some things that just don't work in your life. A broken crutch. Trusting man for the things that God should help you with. That's a flawed thing, he says. Don't trust man instead of me. It's a false sense of trust. I want to read you some verses here this morning. Maybe write these things down. You can revisit these. I'll have you turn to one in a moment, but just listen for a second. Psalm 118, verse 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord, listen now, than to put confidence in princes. Running in some trouble. I hope the government bails me out. I hope that's not where you're putting your trust. The Bible warns, says you are going to come up greatly wanting. He says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. Do I intentionally try and let anybody down? Absolutely not. But I know my limitations. I know how much I can and cannot do. Psalm 62 and verse 9 says, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. Let's look at the spectrum of man. The lowest of men, they're just vain. The highest of men, they're just a lie. They're just a shell. To be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Hey, the greatest to the lowest. Stay away from that. Why? You're going to get hurt. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Is it warm in here? I have a wool jacket on. I think I'm warm. If you're starting to fall asleep, I'm going to come to you. So help your neighbor out. Bump them, elbow them, or her. Say, what are you going to do? I don't know. I've never done it before, but I'll do something. Say, are you really going to do that? No, I just want to scare you a little bit. Just keep you awake. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, King Hezekiah going against Sennacherib. Say, that sounds like a long story. Yes, it is. Read it. But I want to draw your attention to verse 8. 2 Chronicles 32, 8. This is written approximately 100 years before Jeremiah preaches in Jeremiah chapter 17. 100 years. Listen to the similarity in the words. 2 Chronicles 32, 8 says, but his arm of flesh, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Hey, let's compare. What has he got? He's got the arm of flesh. What do we got? We got the Lord God Almighty to help. Which one do we want? Do you see the comparison? Do you see how this is so similar to Jeremiah chapter 17? He warns, he says, hey, don't put your faith and trust in man. Their arms of flesh will fail you. Not intentionally, but it does. It does. If you run into a person when times get difficult, or when you're up against it, you're going to come up with a broken crutch. In that passage, go back to Jeremiah 17, we're told of a second false trust. Second Jeremiah chapter 17. Number one, our first false trust is man. Number two, our second false trust, possibly even more deceptive than man, is found in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our own heart. Mark 7, 21 and 22 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed..." I'm going to give you a list. Not one thing is good. "For from within, out of the heart of men..." I trust in my heart. I'm going to follow my heart. How many of you have ever heard that on a Hallmark movie? Follow your heart. I'll tell you where it takes you. It takes you to Vancouver with a little dog and a broken down pickup truck. That's where they all end. That's where it goes. Follow your heart. That's what they tell you. What does the Bible say? It's no joke. It's serious. Here, let me tell you about your heart. It's lying to you. Your emotions sometimes get in the way of reality. And Mark chapter 7 and verse 21 gives us this very grave view of what is from within. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. "Well, I'm just going to trust my heart to get me through." You're leaning on a broken crutch. Because from the heart comes some trouble. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And that's what we read about in Jeremiah 17. He says this in verse 5 again, "And whose heart departeth from the Lord." When I follow my heart leads me away from God sometimes. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." That's what the Bible says. "But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered." Psalm 53. Let's turn there together. Psalm 53. In a moment, this message is going to take a hard 90-degree turn to joyousness. All right? So just say, "I came to church downtrodden, discouraged, and you ain't helping." I understand. Ain't is not a good word to use in preaching. I'm sorry. You are not helping in any way. Psalm 53, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And here, where does the very thought that there is no God, it originates in man's heart. "For has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." I was talking to my son. He was reading about some World War II history and just the depravity of man, how what man can do to man. And he asked me, he says, "How is that even possible to think of such things?" There's no God. There is no God, and look at what it leads to. "And have done abominable iniquity." Yeah, follow your heart. See where that'll lead you. It'll lead you to a broken crutch and a disaster. Do you see why God is warning us? See what God is saying? Hey, pay attention. "Thus saith the Lord." God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. And every one of them has gone back. Those are strong words. Everyone? Are you sure everyone? They're altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And I don't know how you could not read those verses and not think of Romans chapter 3. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Man's heart in himself without Christ is a mess. And if you're trusting in your heart, or if you're trusting in the arm of man to help you, you are leaning, you are trusting in something that can never hold you up. It's broken. It's like that broken crutch that I found upstairs. The minute I put any pressure on that, Sean, could you imagine using a broken crutch? No, I'd rather have no crutch than a broken crutch. So what is the solution? Back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Put your blinker on, we're about to take a turn. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Blessed, so, thus saith the Lord, cursing. We started with cursing. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Your heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Hey, you're a mess from the inside out. You trust in yourself and you trust in others. You're flawed. He says, here's what you need to do. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. It presents a problem, but it also gives us the solution. We're very good at identifying problems in other people's life, but rarely can we find a solution outside of the Word of God. We can look at society. Man, drugs are a problem. Violence is a problem. Crime is a problem. Education is a problem. But what's the solution? I don't know. Well, the Word of God has an answer. Man is a problem. Our heart is a problem. What is the answer? Oh, I don't know. Thankfully, God has given us the answer in this passage. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He says, let me tell you, what do you want? Do you want cursings or do you want blessings? Well, who would in their right mind not say, I want blessings, Lord? Blessings from the throne of God himself. Look at verse 8. This is that goes so well with our theme, rooted and grounded. Look at verse 8. For he shall be who? The man, the person that trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What are we told here? We're told of this, we're given this visual picture of this relationship between us and God. So follow it here. He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. When you trust in me, you are leaning upon, you are taking refuge under, you are staying upon something that is right and good and that can help and protect and will not fail you. He says it's kind of like the tree. Imagine a tree planted by the river and their root system goes right into that river. He says when the heat of the day comes, those roots draw up that water. And although there is a scorching heat around that tree, yet it is still green. He gives another illustration. He says, even if there's a drought, because the nourishment of the river has supplied the needs of the tree for an extended period of time, it even still bears fruit. So let's think about this in our own life. As I trust in God, as I lean on the Lord, when the heat of life comes around and my roots are into Him, rooted and grounded in love, rooted in Christ, when the heat of the impact is around me, God says, hey, you're trusting in me, you're still going to be green. When the drought of life, when there's a time of wilderness around you, and you've rooted yourself in the Lord, what happens? You still bear fruit. No one else can make that promise. Man could never make that promise. Your heart could never make that promise. God says, go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. What's it like to trust the Lord? What's that look like? I love that passage there in Jeremiah 17 and verse 8. He refers to the reality of life. Oh, it's just going to be great. Ice cream and cherries and no problems ever. No, that's not what he says. And I don't even like cherries. You know those fake maraschino cherries? Those aren't cherries. Anyways, okay. No, he reminds us of the reality of life. Here we are, the tree planted by the river. Our roots are into that nourishment of the Word of God in our life. We're drawing from the nutrients to our base, if you will, to produce green, to produce fruit in the midst of difficulties. He doesn't take the difficulties away. The heat still shows up. The drought still shows up. You just trust the Lord through it, and you get through this. Look at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man. Remember, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he's trusting in the Lord. It's the same illustration. It's the same thought. So what are you trusting in this morning? Trusting in man? Trusting in your own heart? Are you trusting in God? Psalm 40 and verse 4 says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn away to lies. You know, as we were looking over those passages earlier, and it was telling us all the problems, don't do this, don't do that. But it would always lend itself to, this is going to be a mess, but trust in God. Don't do that, trust me. Don't trust that, trust me. Psalm 34:8, we have this verse written giant next to those giant spoon and fork. Say, what is that? That's why I'm not in charge of decorating. I guess that's popular. People like that stuff. And they hang it up and make it look nice. It looks nice around here. And it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Say, can you make this simple? Yes, trust God. That's it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, we mentioned this verse a few weeks ago, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Starts with hearing, believing, and then you're sealed. Do you believe these things? What are you trusting in here? If you're trusting in a man, I understand the context, and please don't get me wrong. I don't think we just shun people out of our life. There's an importance of influence and godly influence and being an example. But be careful how much you lean on somebody. Because they're a person just like you and me. What is the sure thing? What is the thing that will not change? What is the thing that I can guarantee will not be altered? That's God Himself. If you're leaning on anything else, it's just a matter of time until that thing snaps. Gypsy Smith, he was an evangelist. He got saved. An elderly gentleman explained to him the importance of trusting Christ alone. Gypsy Smith replied, "I cannot trust myself, for I am nothing. And I cannot trust in what I have, for I have nothing. And I cannot trust in what I know, for I know nothing. The only thing left for him to trust in was Jesus Christ." Have you placed your trust in men? Do you trust your own heart? Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust His promises? Do you trust His word? Maybe you look around and you just go, man, it just doesn't make sense with what I see and what the Bible says. One of them's got to be right and one's got to be wrong. Can I tell you which one's right? Guaranteed. You know, it's tough to make guarantees, especially, you know, weather-wise in Rochester. You have no idea. One day it could be sunny and, I mean, we experienced 54 degrees, I think, this past week. And a sheet of ice at the same time. Who knows? But I can make this guarantee. You trust the Lord. You lean on Him. You lean on His promises, His word. You trust, as we sing the song, you trust and obey. Arabian horses are trained rigorously in the Middle Eastern deserts. The horses must learn to fully obey their master. This obedience is tested by depriving the horses of water for a number of days and then turning them loose near water. As the horses get to the edge of the water and just before they drink of the much-needed water, the trainer blows the whistle. If the horses have learned to obey, they turn around and come back to the trainer, who then gives them as much water as they need. The trainer knows what his horses need and will not allow them to die of thirst, but they must trust him. God knows what his children need, and he supplies it, but we must trust him. I know that may feel like a simple Sunday school lesson, but the significance and the weight of trusting God with our life is a completely different perspective of everything. Let's all stand.